desire prayers tonight that the Spirit of the Lord would be with us. As Brother Danny was praying tonight, I full-heartedly agree that we're desperate before God. And what we need more than anything is the presence and the Spirit of the Lord. And that we would open our heart to receive whatever He sends, however He chooses to send it. We don't have anything to offer in ourselves tonight. We desire that we would open up our hearts to receive of the Lord. I am thankful tonight for a life of victory. I'm thankful we sang about tonight in the song service. We sang about the blood of Jesus, and it said it will work a perfect cure. It'll cleanse the heart, and it'll keep it pure. It is one thing to get saved, and it's something else to stay saved. But see, the song also says, mighty to save and mighty to keep. Grace like an ocean. You know, that is the experience that God would have for each and every one of us here tonight. That we would get saved, get our life on the right track, and stay on that road and one day make heaven our home. The Word of God, the New Testament, it's a number of books about victory. You read the New Testament, you read about the healings, you read about victory, you hear about how Jesus, He raised the dead, He healed the sick, He cast the devils out of people, and it's a plan of victory, of hope, forgiveness. And sometimes, because we're human, we can come and sit under the sound of the gospel and we can hear this theology preached of a life of victory. And if we have not experienced victory in our own life, we will tend to begin to say, that's just a doctrine, but it's not real. It's not practical. People can't really live a holy life. Because we tend to view things based on our own experiences. We tend to view other people and understand why they do what they do based on our own motivation, see? And we tend to see people through those eyes. Tonight, I want to say, and it's a preface of the burden that I've had on my heart for quite some time, I am thankful that there is a life of complete victory in Jesus Christ. And if there is sin in your life, I want you to know there is a true deliverance that God has for you tonight. You need not go away with sin in your life. But there is a story that we find in the New Testament about one of the disciples of Christ, about Peter. And we find that Peter did not always have the victory in his life. Peter failed Jesus Christ. And we live because, folks, we are human. If you ever find yourself in a place of failure, the question is, what then? What do I do now? Because we come to services and camp meeting, and folks, we are called to live a high calling. We're called to be saints. We're called to avail ourselves daily, sometimes minute by minute, of the grace of God that will enable us to live a consistent, holy, victorious life with the peace of God in our life. And folks, I can testify to you tonight that experience is a reality. That is the plan of God for each and every one of us, that we can have a life of victory. Even if you have not experienced it, if you have experienced repeated failures in your life, that we do not want to lower the standard of the Bible to fit my experience. We need to raise our experience to the Bible standard. But we cannot do that by ourselves tonight. We cannot do that by our willpower. We cannot do that by our own strength. Some people, they say, I had grace and I didn't say anything when someone maybe was treating them badly, said, I didn't say a thing. But they were biting, they said, I just bit my lip and didn't say a thing. Folks, that's not the grace of God. That is willpower. And you will find as people grow older, they tend to not bite their lip as much. And that's why sometimes people that don't avail themselves of the grace of God, they get a little bit more outspoken as they grow older. But do you realize the grace of God is something that divinely enables us to keep quiet when we need to keep quiet? It is the power of God and the grace of God that does something in our life to enable us to live like God wants us to. It's not based on what I can do in my own strength or in my own will. Well, in Luke, in the 22nd chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 54. would like to water down the doctrine of living above sin. Folks, that is a Bible doctrine, and it is a Bible experience that is available for all of us. But it is also the mercy of the Lord that if you find yourself overtaken in a fault, if you find yourself caught up and you fell short of the measure of grace that God had for you, folks, all is not lost. All is not lost. Don't walk away tonight and accept that kind of failure in your life. It said that Jesus turned and He looked on Peter. And I want to share with you just the way the Lord gave it to me. I do not believe that Jesus had judgment in His eyes when He looked on Peter. We could look at Peter. Have you ever seen someone else fail? We think they did what? Brother so-and-so, they did what? Jesus, when He looked on Peter, I believe He looked on him with sadness in His eyes. And I believe He looked on him with love. Peter, you've let me down. But I love you. And when Peter saw the look that Jesus gave to him, he went out and wept. Tonight, if you are in a place of spiritual failure, the Lord is not looking on you with judgment ready to cut you off tonight. The Spirit of the Lord wants you to know tonight that He loves you and that He cares about you, and He is interested in giving you something tonight to enable you to go all the way, to overcome the failures that you have spiritually, to overcome those places in your life that it seems like I have tried and I've tried again. The Lord's looking on you with a heart full of love tonight. I'm thankful that this wasn't the end of the story. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Folks, Peter did not deny his failure. If we try to whitewash spiritual failures tonight, we will never experience peace in our life. We'll never experience that full victory and power that the Lord has for us. But yet Peter went out and he acknowledged, Lord, I have failed you. And folks, I still believe Peter loved the Lord through his failure. Peter did not turn his back on God and say, I'm not going to serve you anymore. But he was caught up in the heat of the moment. And he failed to have victory with God. Folks, God has something better for us tonight if we find ourselves in that place. We don't need to live like Peter did. But I'm thankful that passage is in the Bible. Because the Bible is about victory. It's about overcoming, and that experience is there. But I know many a soul that has found themselves just like Peter. And they say, what do I do now? I fail the Lord. Sometimes that failure is sin. Sin is what separates us from God. There was a break in the moral covenant that we had with God. That was a failure. Or it may be that it was not as egregious as some other sins, but it was something that began to drive a wedge in my relationship with Jesus. I didn't have the grace that I should have had. I didn't turn my back on Him, but I knew that the Lord wanted more out of my life. And I failed to move like the Lord wanted me to move. And then we question ourselves and say, well, am I still saved or not? And when it happens again, and we fall short again, the devil's going to be right there to say, you're not saved, you might as well give up. You can't live for the Lord. Folks, the devil is a liar tonight. It doesn't matter what your family's history is. It doesn't make a difference tonight. Those family sins that have been passed down, and you have some natural weaknesses, there's victory over that tonight. There is victory over the spiritual needs in your congregation tonight. There is victory over attitudes of bitterness and unforgiveness. There's victory for that, folks. But if you find yourself with that kind of failure, don't give up tonight. Don't give up, but don't settle for that kind of failure. Jesus is looking on you tonight with love. And when Jesus rose from the dead over in the book of Mark in the 16th chapter in the 7th verse, the angel spake to the women that were there at the tomb. And the angel said, go your way and tell His disciples. Tell Jesus' disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead. Folks, I do not believe that that special message that was sent to Peter was sent for the purpose of separating Peter from his discipleship. But Jesus, in His love and in His kindness and in His compassion for the failure that Peter had in his life, He wanted Peter to have a special message that there's still an opportunity for you to serve me again. I am not dead any longer. Jesus was saying, I'm still alive. And Peter, I forgive you and I love you and I still want you to come and follow me. Tonight, regardless of what you feel, other people think about you tonight. And I'll tell you, I was sitting there and the Lord had been dealing with me. And it's confession time. Thought, Lord, it's hard to get up because there's a couple people. What are they going to think? Oh, there's Brother Michael getting up to preach. Do you know that's just like the devil? Do you know tonight if there have been places in your life where you have failed somewhere along the line? Or if there are places in your life that there are some attitudes that you know that the Lord is not pleased with, don't give up. Don't stop doing the things that you know God wants you to do. Don't give up and keep coming back to the Lord and saying, Lord, here I am again. Lord, here I am again. I am here, Lord, because I love you and I fail. And Lord, I was at the altar last year at Monarch. In the year before that, I was there. In the year before that. And Lord, I still don't have victory in my life. So what then? The Lord's sending that message. He's saying, tell my people and tell everybody that has failed that I'm still alive. My power is not diminished. There is another opportunity. Young people, if you went home from Monarch last year and you have fallen prey to the same failures or the same sin that overtook you last year, don't give up tonight. Don't give in. Don't listen to the devil. Jesus is still alive and He still has a perfect plan of victory for you in His mind tonight. And there are times we may come and say, Lord, I hope you're not tired of me, but here I am again. And the Lord's going to be there with His arms open up, folks, because Jesus wants you to make it tonight. And if it has been a place that you have sinned, and it has hurt your family, and it has hurt the saints, and you did things that have brought a reproach, the Lord loves you tonight. And when the Lord turns and looks on you tonight, He sees the sin. He sees the failure. He sees where you've gone wrong. And He's saying, go tell them I still love them. Go tell them I died for them. Tell them that I still care about them. Folks, there's hope tonight. There is hope for us when we fail. There is hope for the sinner tonight that has fallen repeatedly. The message of deliverance is the same, but don't turn your nose up when holiness is preached. When it's preached living above sin, don't sit back and say, here they go again. Folks, that's the experience that God has for you. But if you don't have it tonight, this is the message for you. In your failure, Jesus still loves you. He still cares for you. And He wants to give you something tonight to restore. And not only restore the peace you may have one time had, He wants to give you a fresh new blessing that will enable you to go and sin no more. That you would find the grace that would keep you in that place of His grace and His peace. Go your way and tell His disciples and Peter. Oh, dear ones, Peter was singled out for special attention. The Lord has special care for those that have failed tonight. For those that did not have when the Lord dealt with them, when they did not receive the Holy Spirit, and you found yourself lacking in power to follow through with what God was requiring of you. What are you going to do? Do you know that it's up to you tonight what you do with your failure? It's up to you. You can walk away. You can turn your back on God, but when you do that, your life's going to get worse and worse. Or you can accept it and say, that's just the way I am. I just fail on that point every single time I fail. And I guess everybody, I'll just have to live with it. Folks, we'll never get victory with that kind of attitude. But if we will recognize Jesus came to minister to those that have needs. That's what a physician does. He came to minister to the sick, and that's why Jesus came, folks. He came to minister to those that are spiritual failures. He came to minister to those tonight that have up and down experiences. He came to bring healing to the backslider. He came to bring healing to those that have hurt those that they love. He came to bring healing, and He came to minister to those needs in our life over those sins that it seems like we have such a propensity to commit. Jesus came to minister to those needs, and that was the message that He brought. Peter could have very well followed the example of Judas. Do you remember Judas failed the Lord too, didn't he? He failed the Lord, and Judas was not able to handle the guilt of it. And I believe Judas felt very bad at what he had done. But he wasn't able to handle the guilt of the transgression. And so he went out and committed suicide. Folks, that is something that is very real in this day and age. And I want to say I appreciate being raised in a saint's home. But I also want to say this. When you get saved at a young age, I got saved when I was 5 years old. I still remember when the Lord met me. But I also remember I still had some growing up to do. I still had some maturing to do. And sometimes it's difficult to recognize as a child that place of natural maturing and growth. And how does that relate to my spirituality? Because shouldn't I be perfect? And if I'm saved, I should never get any spankings anymore. And I ought not never to do anything that I shouldn't and have a wrong attitude. Oh, children tonight, if you love God and there are some areas like that in your life, that does not mean that you're not saved. It means when you have fallen short, there is some maturing that you need to do emotionally and also spiritually. And the Lord will help you with that. Young people, there is a place, and not just with young people, but when someone has failed the Lord so many times and they've been around the saints for years, there is a desperation that gets hold of people. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. A desperation of, Lord, I've tried to serve You. Lord, You know my heart and I love You, but it seems like I'm just not getting the victory like You want. Oh, tonight the Lord loves you. The Lord has not given up on you. And let's not allow the enemy to come in and cause the guilt and the condemnation to be so great that we follow the path of Judas. But rather Peter, he went and he repented. He went and he wept bitterly. And then on the day of Pentecost, we find Peter showing his face to the other saints that they knew when he walked in the door, you deny the Lord. You did it 3 times. Peter, how could have you done it? He was willing to bear the reproach of his failure to come back into the presence of the God of God. Oh, tonight, if you failed, don't walk away. If you have sinned, and when I say sin, folks, that covers a wide gamut of things, a wide array of things. If you have been unfaithful to your spouse, there's forgiveness for you. If you have not treated your family well, there is forgiveness for you. There's going to still be some hurts, but there's a place in Christ tonight that He wants to forgive you, and His heart is full of love for you because it's not too late for you tonight. Jesus' love and His mercy is still extended. It goes from there to just the failures of grace. My message, my burden is not to draw a line tonight between the theological differences between sin that separates from God and a personal failure and a lack of grace. That's not my burden tonight. But I want us to understand what is more important than the theological difference is that I come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't have what I need. And I know sometimes people get in a state spiritually, they don't know where they're at. Because, Lord, I love You, and I've wanted to serve You, but I've been failing. And I haven't had the power that I need, and they don't know whether they're saved or not. Folks, the Lord loves you tonight. And He has an experience to give to you that will enable you to find that place of steadfastness in the Lord. And if it takes more than one trip to the altar, don't stop coming. Don't worry about what everybody thinks. Don't matter how many times I've had to come over the same old failure. Lord, I'm going to keep coming until I get the victory that I need, because that is the perfect plan of God. I want to say, if it had not been for the mercy of the Lord, even after I got saved, I would be far from here tonight. I would be a far different person tonight if the Lord had not looked on me in my personal failings in the time the Lord, I didn't have the grace that I should have had. It was His love and it was His mercy that says, I have something more for you. And if we deny it or reject it, we'll never draw closer to the Lord. But as we accept, isn't there a song that says something about letting our failures a blessing to us prove? That our failures can turn out to be a blessing for you. You may say, why is this story a failure in the Bible? Because, folks, you don't read about it very often, do you? You read about victory. You read about the deliverance of Jesus. But I've been around enough people to know that failure is also a reality for many people. There's an answer for us tonight. It's not going to be found in our own willpower. It's going to be found in something that the Lord wants to do for us. Let's not give up hope tonight. Let's not give up. I think about, I read a while back, in 1902, there was a poetry editor in the Atlantic Monthly, and he returned a stack of poems to the one that had submitted them. And he said, we have no room in our magazine for your vigorous verse. Incidentally, that was Robert Frost that had submitted those poems. In 1905, the University of Bern turned down a doctoral dissertation, and on it they said, irrelevant and fanciful. It was submitted by Albert Einstein. Winston Churchill, as a student, had a teacher that put on a report card, a conspicuous lack of success. Do you know how many people spiritually tonight have been rejected and maybe have failed at something? But their love was strong enough, Lord, I still love you. Regardless of what everybody else thinks about me spiritually, Lord, I still love you and I still want to make it. And you may feel like tonight that the saints preach such a high standard, and they get a little self-righteous because of it. Do you know when you really get to know people, you're going to start finding out that they're human? And you're going to start finding out that maybe they have a lot more compassion than what you think they do. And when the truth is preached over the pulpit, folks, this is the experience that God has for us. But if we have experienced the failing, well, maybe that's why the Lord sent this message tonight. Because that's a reality for a lot of people too. But there's something better. And God has not cut you off. He has not taken His hands off, but He's looking on you with love tonight and with compassion. Over in Jeremiah in the 29th chapter in the 11th verse, the Scripture says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Tonight, regardless of how old you are, or how old you are, how young you are, regardless of what you have done in this past year, regardless of what you think everybody in this congregation thinks about you spiritually tonight, I want you to know that the thoughts of God are kind and they're compassionate, and I want you to know that God has not given up hope in you. So many people have walked away because they didn't think there's any hope left. Folks, there is hope tonight. There is hope for the one that is so disappointed in themselves tonight. When it gets to the place, it's like, I'm so disappointed in myself, I failed, what do I do? Folks, the Lord has extended hope. He's extended His love. He's extended His grace tonight. Let's not stop because of failure, folks. Don't allow short-term failure to deter you from the long-term goals you have of serving God. But don't put off dealing with the failure. The longer you put off dealing with the failure and acknowledging it and bringing it to God, folks, it'll have disastrous effects in your life and in your emotions and in your perspective and understanding of God's plan if you have allowed failure to stay in your life and you fail to bring it back to the Lord. That's where deception comes in. People fail so many times, they start to manipulate Bible doctrine around their own failures. And so they began to teach a substandard living and experience with God. Folks, the Lord would rather have us rise up to the standard of holiness and purity. But if you're not there tonight, God is sending the message, so we'll get there. He hasn't given up hope. He loves you tonight and He cares about you. Children that have gone home and there's been some rebellion in your life. The Lord loves you tonight. He hasn't given up hope on you. He hasn't rejected you, but He's saying, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And it was for the purpose of bringing all of us to an expected end. For the purpose of bringing us to a place of peace in our spirits to say, I found this experience in Jesus Christ. That is the expected end that God has for you tonight. For all of us this evening. Hebrews 12 and 1. It says, wherefore we seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Dear ones, the Scripture there says that there are weights and sins that easily beset us. Now there is power in the Lord to enable us to overcome besetting sins tonight. But the word there for besetting sin, this is the only place, to my understanding, that Greek word is used in the New Testament. And it has to do with those sins or to those things that easily stand around us or cling to us. Do you know there are natural weaknesses that everybody here has? And I am thankful that the Lord knows my weaknesses tonight because He knows how to fortify me. The Lord does. But folks, the devil also knows my weaknesses tonight. The devil knows exactly where we are tonight with God, and he knows those natural weaknesses and propensities that we have. And so that will be the focus of his temptation, on that natural weakness to try to cause us to fail. Those sins that doth so easily beset us. He said here, lay those things aside. One of the reasons why people oftentimes find themselves in a condition of repeated spiritual failure, sometimes repeated backsliding, is because they're not willing or have not laid aside the things in their life that open up the doors to the temptation that gets them every time. Let me give you an example. If there is someone that every time I get around that person, I find myself following their example in doing things that I should not do, that ought to tell me something. It ought to tell me that I probably ought to put some distance between me and that person. Lay aside my evil companions, because as long as you stay with them, as much as you want to be saved, that's your weakness. It would not do tonight for an alcoholic, when he comes down and gets saved, there's a deliverance from alcohol that God has, folks. There's an instantaneous deliverance, but it would not be wise, or would not spiritually behoove that man to get up from the altar and go out to a bar to have an ice cold water and say, I'm not going to drink anymore. That's been his weakness. That was his downfall over and over. And so the Scripture says, lay aside those things. The environment that you know has caused you to be a downfall. Something I have observed as well. When we get saved, folks, we're going to have to lay some things aside. If we're not willing to lay aside the things that are not holy in our life, we are going to be right back to the same place. Because the devil knows where we're weak. He knows the things that we enjoy doing in the flesh and the things that cause to draw us more towards the world than the things of God. And when we get saved, folks, we're going to have to be willing. If we want to conquer repeated failure, we're going to have to lay aside those things in our life that do not have God's stamp of approval on them. I've seen many people get saved and want to really start out for the Lord, get up from the altar and go listen to the same worldly music that talks about fornication and drinking and all of the things that are clearly very sinful, and go right back to it. Seeing people get up and say, "Lord, I love you, but I'm not willing to lay aside this hurt that I have towards this person. I'm not willing to lay that down." You will find yourself in a pattern of failure. And it's because, folks, if we want to overcome these besetting sins, we're going to have to lay aside those things that open up the door to the temptation of the enemy. And when you are willing to do that, you will find greater grace and greater victory in that place of your life, that you'll never have to go back to that exact spot. That doesn't mean in other areas you won't have to come back to the Lord and say, "Lord, again, here I am. But Lord, I want to make it." Over in Psalms 130, before we read that, you know the Scripture says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. You know why he said that? Because it can happen. If a man be overtaken in a fault, he said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. None of us tonight are above failure. None of us are above it. And if we think that we are living so close to God that there is no even possibility that I can fall short of the grace of God in any line, you will find that you have too much spiritual pride. Because that's why he said, when you see people that have failed, he said, you deal with them with meekness. Because he said, it might have been you. It could have been you. I heard, and I cannot attest to the veracity of this because I didn't hear the individual say it. I heard tell that there was a minister, not one that we fellowship with, that he publicly stated that in his 10 years of marriage that he had never had to apologize to his wife one time. Now, what do you think you married wives think about that? Some may say, well, he must be a wonderful man. I'll tell you that what I thought when I heard that, I saw that poor woman. For someone to think that in every interaction, every frustration of life, that there was not one time an impatient word. Maybe I wasn't quite as gentle, or maybe I wasn't quite as considerate. Do you realize there's a place that every individual that is serving the Lord today has had a place in their life where they have fallen short? Maybe it wasn't sin. I'm not talking about that, because we can live free from sin, folks. But places of spiritual growth. Places that my heart is perfect, my love is perfect, and God's working on the human part of me. He's given me more grace. He's perfecting me. He's molding me into His image. Folks, there is an experience of growth tonight. Let's not confuse that with backsliding in sin. And the devil would like to bring a lot of confusion over that point. And many a soul has not backslidden, but they didn't quite have all the grace they should have. And they threw their hands up because they thought, I can't live this way. Folks, you can live this way. The Lord's on your side tonight. And the Lord came that we could have a successful spiritual walk with God on a daily basis. And the places that we begin to fall a little bit short, I'll come right back to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I need more than what I had. And tomorrow, when the same battle comes along, you'll find that there's greater grace and greater strength because we're willing to humble our hearts and face the failure that we had. And that is what enables us to rise to a higher standard in greater conformity to Jesus Christ tonight. Psalms 130, beginning with verse 3. He said, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? tonight, if the Lord were to mark iniquities of everyone here, do you realize there would be no one that would be able to stand? No one could stand if the Lord marked iniquities. But he went on to say, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Tonight, failure. What then? There is forgiveness tonight. If you have failed God, if you have backslid, if you have sinned, or if you have just fallen short of that life of grace and victory that God has for you, and your heart is still set on the things of God, there is forgiveness for you tonight. There is forgiveness. And he went on to say then, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Moving down to verse 7, he said, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Folks, there's hope tonight. If you're in a place spiritually that you have failed, and it seems like there's no other place to turn, and it seems like you've been here before, and it just seems like you're not getting the answer. Maybe you've gone from minister to minister to minister, and it seems like I just can't get the answer. There's still hope tonight. And that hope and that redemption is found in the Lord. It's found in Jesus. Do not give up hope tonight. I want to encourage you in the Lord this evening that He loves you. He cares for you. His mercy is extended. There is still redemption. There is still power to enable us to live like the Lord would have us to live. So then, what are we going to do when we fail? Do you remember the scripture in 1 John 2:1? It says, my little children, He said, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. Now folks, first of all, that is the plan of God, that you sin not. A lot of people take that scripture and say, see, you can't live free from sin. Read all the verses around it. It's teaching a life of living free from sin. But he said, I've written this unto you, my little children, that you sin not. But, I want to add a little something, he said. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Oh, aren't you thankful to have an advocate with us tonight? Aren't you thankful that there is one that loves you so much that if you have failed or if you have sinned, there is one that will take your case to the Lord. There is one that will take your case to God and say, Lord, this is one of my children. They've fallen away, but Lord, they're wanting to do what's right. We need to do more for them. And folks, there is more to be found in the Lord this morning tonight. There is an advocate this evening. Don't give up hope. You know, it's something that gives you courage if you've ever been in a failure and you have someone come along and put their arm around you and let you know they love you. Let you know, I'm counting on you. I'm behind you. I'm supporting you. And I still love you. Folks, the Lord is not excusing sin tonight. He is not excusing failure, but He's saying, if there is sin in your life, if there is failure, I want you to know that I, as Christ, He's saying, I'm willing to take your case to the Father to restore to you the joy and the victory of salvation. Rather, tonight, in those places that are lame, the Scripture says, let it rather be healed. Let those areas tonight of failure, let's bring them to the Lord. And so when we think about and consider the subject of failure, we ask the question, what then? That's up to you tonight. We can throw our hands up and we can walk away and say, I have failed and I just can't serve the Lord. And the result, folks, is going to be eternal death. It's going to be eternal separation from God. Or we can say, yes, failure is a reality in my life. It's a reality. But I have tried so many times, I'm just going to have to accept that this is the way it is. I want you to know that that right there is the beginning of deception. That right there is the beginning of deception, and the long-term result of that is going to be you'll lose your experience with the Lord completely. Or we can do, as Peter did, say, come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I still love you. I still want to serve you. I let you down, but Lord, I'm going to come back after all of my failure, and I'm going to present myself to you, Lord. Would you forgive me? Lord, I did it. Not going to sugarcoat it. Not going to blame somebody else. I'm going to take responsibility for my own failure. And Lord, I need something more from you. And folks, the Lord, if we will do that and we will be willing then to lay aside those things the Lord points out that have been a downfall to us, we can go forward experiencing something in the Lord tonight that we've never had before. Folks, it is not God's plan for you to live in failure. I know that it is a reality for many people, but there is a greater reality tonight. There is a greater reality, and that is an experience of victory and peace with God, walking with Him every day. So tonight, if you've had some failures in your life, what then? That's up to you.